Chapter 22. Fear and Tremolo. We land in a flailing pile of arms and legs on the weight room floor, breathless and soaked through from melting snow. It takes a minute to sort out whose limbs are whose, and then we sit and stare at each other, shocked and dizzied from the tumble through the portal.
"What?"
Jai gasps.
"Was that?"
"Yes." Darby crosses her arms. "Time for some explanation."
"And what was with the old guy with the bagpipes?"
adds Jai.
"Mr. Midnight always gets his due.
He sounded like a creepy zombie when he said it."
Maybe because Mr. Stewart is exactly that. But I'm still processing it all, hoping I overreacted, desperate to poke holes in my own theory. But I know what I saw, and there's no way around it.
"Amelia!"
Jai waves his hand in front of my wide-eyed stare.
"Hello? We're waiting. What happened back there? Did the guy ask for payment?"
"Yeah, so," I inhale shakily. "He wanted me to compose a resurrection spell." Shocked silence. Jai's eyes nearly swallow his face. "I guess he somehow heard about my ghost spell," I say. "He thinks I have, well, a talent for composing black spells," murmurs Darby. I told him no, obviously. I'm not doing that stuff again. And this is way worse than even the ghost summoning spell.
"Not to mention more dangerous," says Darby.
"Didn't your mom?" I nod. She and Jai know the real reason my mom died, and how the resurrection spell she composed to save me ended up claiming her life instead.
"You can't compose that spell for him,"
Jai says firmly. I agree. Which is why I said no way. He got mad and said there would be consequences. That I owe him the spell in exchange for using the memory seed.
"What kind of consequences?"
asks Darby. I shrug. Jai lifts a finger.
"Why does this guy even want a resurrection spell?"
I don't know that either. Also, he played his violin in front of me. And then later, I noticed something on his ears. I draw a deep breath, then whisper, "Mr. Midnight is barred."
"Barred,"
Jai repeats, as if he didn't hear me right. "As in, he's a criminal who was banned from all music craft."
"Are you sure?
But you said he played the violin." I nod, "I'm sure. His ears were, bleeding."
"Gross," says Darby.
"Yeah, and that's not all." I tell them what happened next, about the masked lady and the Beatles, and Mr. Midnight claiming she was a failed result of a bad resurrection spell. How I suspect that the entire Midnight Orchestra and Mr. Stewart and all the vendors in the market might be messed up resurrections too. In my own head, it had sounded insane. But as I lay out my suspicions before my friends, I can hear the pieces clicking together, forming a complete picture. A terrible, gut-wrenching picture. But a true one.
"So what you are saying," Darby replies when I'm done, "is that Mr. Midnight is a barred musician who leads an entire horde of..."
Her voice wobbles.
"Of zombies."
"First ghosts," says Jai. "Now zombies."
"Great. Of course, I mean, why not?
Why stop there?
Why not have a whole party?
Vampires, werewolves, vampire werewolves."
He stops, his face transforming into a mask of pure horror.
"Wait a minute. Mr. Midnight is a barred musician who leads a horde of zombies."
"That's what I just said," Darby points out.
"No, no, no. You don't get it."
Jai shakes his head, the blood draining from his face.
"Mr. Midnight is a barred musician who leads a horde of zombies."
"Yes," says Darby. "We get it. The dude's a real creep job."
"You still aren't hearing me."
Jai begins pacing, rubbing his hands over his face.
"Think about it. Haven't we heard stories about a barred man who plays music anyway, whose trademark is his bloody ears? A man who's supposed to exist only in rumors and ghost stories? Who leads an army of the dead? A man so terrible, kids speak his name in a whisper?"
Again, I feel that tickle in the back of my mind. It's the same feeling I got when I first saw the bars in Mr. Midnight's ears, as if my subconscious was trying to tell me something. I know, says Darby, looking a bit green. That's impossible. That's just a story. So were ghosts, until they weren't, he points out. So was the Midnight Orchestra, until it wasn't. Come on, you know I'm right on this. Our masked friend back there. He's got another name. A name everyone already knows. I gasp. There's a kid, George, in my Eros class, who has a real talent for telling scary stories. The drama club has already recruited him for their spring performance of Macbeth. But there's one story he loves telling more than any other, about a barred man and his zombie followers. Jai must see me come to the same conclusion because he points at me and nods. Exactly. You see it now? Your Mr. Midnight has another name. He drops to a theatrical whisper, raising his hands for emphasis. The Necromuse. The Necromuse isn't real, says Darby, but she says it like she's trying to convince herself. Oh, he's real, says Jai, and he's after Amelia. We all sit with that for a moment. My stomach sinks lower and lower. Well, I'm not composing anything for him. Of course you're not, says Jai. We won't let you. I give him a grateful look, but I feel queasy. I should have asked for some specifics regarding the consequences the Necromuse promised. But all I could think about at the time was getting as far away from him as possible. It's like my subconscious knew who he really was before I did. I think it's pretty fantastic, you having a nemesis. Jai pulls up his jacket over his face like a vampire cloak, wiggling his eyebrows at me.
You will never defeat me, puny girl.
What kind of accent is that? He's not Dracula. I hesitate, then add, maybe we should tell the... We are not telling the maestros, says Darby. Breaking the school rules is one thing, but if people find out you've been making deals with the Necromuse, this is bigger than detention or even getting expelled. Like, that's the kind of thing people get barred for, Amelia. I stare at her, my heart in my throat. Let's just wait it out, she suggests. He might have been bluffing. Sure. Fine. I am almost certain he was not bluffing. They weren't there. They didn't hear the winter in his voice or feel the chill in the air like an oncoming blizzard.